I do need your prayers tonight as I stand before you. Appreciate Brother Charles's prayer. Appreciate the good conversation that we've had already before the service. Just listening around and different ones speaking and talking about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. It's been a blessing to me already. That's really what our conversation ought to be about when we come to church. It ought to be that same conversation when we leave church. And as we live our lives, that ought to be our daily conversation. It ought to be what we communicate to one another about. The hymn writer said, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me the, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard." And that is absolutely true tonight. There's nothing more important than the message of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. The gospel does not cause the salvation of the Lord's people. The gospel declares the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved his people from their sins. And there's no better news, there's no better words to share than the words of grace, the words of salvation. It's like a lamp unto our feet. It's like a light unto our path. It gives us a drink of water and a weary land. And it's the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel that comes down from above. It's the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for his people. I pray tonight that he'll bless me to be able to share that good news. We've already sung about the good news, and all those songs are filled with the gospel. We've been talking about the Lord, already shared the gospel with one another tonight. And then as the brother came and prayed, he looked to the Lord, who's the one who's able to give us everything that we stand in need of tonight. So you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, and we pray the Lord will bless us with what we need. Tonight my mind is on the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I at least want to read this passage in your hearing. Physically speaking, I feel pretty weary tonight, and it's not a bad weary, it's a good weary. I've spent the day doing some things that the things that I truly love, being able to go among God's people. But I am physically somewhat seemingly tired and finding sometimes my thoughts not staying with me as much as I'd like them to. When your family has some history of Alzheimer's in it, and every time you start feeling something you can't remember, you get a little worried more than I used to. And then I have enough other nervous kind of issues that the anxiety causes me to forget more, and I've worried about the forgetting. I just pray the Lord tonight will give me a fresh anointing of his grace, so that I'll feel like I'm telling this story the first time I've ever told it. And that the truth that we declare is like just as fresh and real to us as if we just heard it for the first time. I know it's a message that's worthy of our very best effort. And whatever I'm blessed to be able to say about it, it'll be a blessing that comes from the Lord. And any of the faults or failure, well, you know who to give that to. And I just pray the Lord will bless us tonight to feel his presence. If I don't get to say a thing, we can feel his presence, it'll be okay, won't it? It'll be all right. And so we're looking to the Lord. We're looking to the one who has blessed our forefathers. He blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. He blessed Jacob. He blessed the apostles. He blessed the ministers of the past. I think my mind is filled with those old dear brethren that fill not only this pulpit, but the pulpits in around the area in Northern Virginia. And I think of how they trusted in the Lord, and the Lord blessed them. And they, most of them, many of them, that I knew as a young man, have gone home to be with the Lord. And some of the others have become older in years and not able to carry on as far as their activity as ministers. But what a blessing it's been to hear them declare this same gospel message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's been to the comfort and edification of the Lord's people. In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples that he was going to to go to the cross and that he was going to die, that he was going away for them, and for a while they would not see him. But he also told them not to be afraid, because he would not leave them as orphans. He would not leave them without a comforter, but that the Holy Comforter was going to come. And really, the Holy Comforter was already with them, the person of the Holy Spirit. And yet there was going to be a fullness of the person of the Holy Spirit that came. And what came on the day of Pentecost was like a rushing mighty wind that filled the hearts and the minds of God's little children. And they were able to see things after that they had not been able to see in the fullness. And we are living in that day and age where we have the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's here teaching about the Trinity as well. We don't often, maybe not all the time, think about this passage as one that's pointing out the Trinity, the truth of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and the distinct persons that each one are, and yet these three are one. How we have one God, not three gods, but one God manifest in three persons. And in this passage, you will see that laid out, if the Lord will bless us tonight to see it. Now, we don't have eyes given to us by Almighty God and ears that's unstopped by the Lord and a heart to understand given to us by the Lord. We can read the words, but we won't be able to glean from them the truth. And tonight, if we can do that, that's a great blessing that the Lord has allowed us to have eyes to see it and ears to hear it and hearts to understand it. And isn't it wonderful when the Lord opens up His Word? I was texting Brother London last night. I was pretty late. I don't know what time it was, but I finally had to tell Brother London, look, I got to go to sleep. I said, yeah, it's time to go. Good night. Because I could tell when from the conversation that we were texting back and forth that this thing could get real involved. And I was enjoying it, but it was time. My new church was coming in the morning. It was time to rest. If it had been a week night, I'd have stayed right there with you because it was good. We were talking about the faith that Abraham had, and how that Abraham walked by faith, and how that as Abraham walked by faith, it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and that faith in exercising it, God's children please the Lord. It's pleasing unto the Lord when we're believing, when we exercise our faith. And he's certainly teaching that throughout the scripture, but I enjoyed that, Brother London, and I pray tonight we'll enjoy what we're talking about here. John chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 15. Read down to the end of the chapter, which is through verse 31. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yea, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it has come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, do you suppose the Lord knew which of the disciples loved him? Absolutely. Remember when he was talking to Peter after his resurrection, after the Lord had risen from the dead, and Peter was out fishing and hadn't caught anything, and the Lord told him to dip his net on the right side, and when he did that, he brought forth that abundance of fishes, and there he was. When he brought them to shore, Jesus already had the fish and and everything prepared for them, and they sat there and dined, and he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, lovest thou me? He knew that Peter loved him, but he had Peter confess that he loved him. And Peter said, Lord, I love thee. And he asked him a second time, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, thou knowest, Lord, I love thee. And he said, one more time, Peter, do you love me? And he said, thou knowest all things. And Peter was absolutely right. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus wasn't really questioning whether his disciples loved him here. He's just telling them to use that love that the Lord had put in him, that love for God, to do what he told him to told them to do, and that is, if you love me, keep my commandments. Tonight, we don't believe by keeping the commandments we become God's children. We believe that we are God's children by his grace, and we love him because he first loved us. We didn't love him so that he would love us, but we love him because he first loved us. And that because we love him, you and I are to be keeping his commandments. It's important that we're living in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. The commandments that he would have us to keep are the commandments that he has given us in his word. And he's given us many of them. The whole Sermon on the Mount, much of it was teachings that he gave to his disciples about how they are to live, how they are to act and behave in their lives. And he said, the reason we're to do that is because we love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the reason we love him is because he first loved us, and he gave us the love in our hearts to be able to love him. One of the things that he taught us to do in his commandments is to love one another. And that is, without love, it's really impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Well, why would the Father give another comforter? Because the Son was about to go away. The Son was telling them that I've come. He had just, as we read that last verse, he says, arise and let us go hence. They're about to leave from Bethany, and they're about to go to Jerusalem. And there at Jerusalem, they're going for the Passover. At the Passover, there will be the institution of the Lord's Supper at the Passover. And then after the Passover, Jesus will deliver himself up. The men will come and take him. They with wicked hands came and took him, but he was not taken against his will. He was taken because he allowed them to have the power to be able to. He didn't have his life taken from him, but he gave his life. And he who freely gave his life had the power also. He had the power to give his life. He had the power to take it up again. Isn't that wonderful that we serve such an awesome and wonderful God? And Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place. And he was preparing God's little children for that which they were going to have to go through. Do you believe the Lord prepares things for us here in this world that we're about to go through? And sometimes we wonder about the circumstances. We wonder why we're having to face this and go through this. And the Lord, all the time, we're worrying and troubled when the Lord has said, I will take care of you. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's going to be there. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, who's the other comforter? Well, we don't have to speculate about this because the Bible tells us who it is. He said in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now some get the idea that the Holy Ghost had not yet come, but you do not have a proper understanding if you think the Holy Ghost has not yet come in every sense, because the Holy Ghost was with God and was with God in eternity past. God has always been the same. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And you can read throughout the entirety of the Old Testament and find occasion after occasion where they were moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament itself was written as men were moved by the Holy Ghost to pin those things down. The prophets spoke by the power of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost was in operation. When he's talking about the coming of the Holy Ghost, he's talking about a more fuller revelation of the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost was going to be manifest in a way that he had not been up to that time, where your young men shall dream dreams and they will see things and understand and know things. Today, we have the movement of the Holy Spirit in individuals among us, where God's little children are moved by the Holy Spirit day in and day out in our lives. And when Jesus was with them, they didn't need that manifestation of the Holy Spirit because they had Jesus. Was Jesus a comforter? Absolutely so. His name in the Old Testament was called Wonderful, Counselor, Comforter, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter." Why? Because he was about to go away for a while. But he who was going to go away was going to come again. And while he was gone, he wasn't going to leave them alone. We sing a hymn, "No, never alone." And in reality, we are not alone. What we love to think about is the individuals in the person of the Godhead. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're three distinct persons. And yet to have one of them is to have all of them. And because these three are one. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you really have Christ in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. We know from the Bible that the Lord, after His resurrection, and He walked among the brethren for 40 days, He said, "I'll go away, but I'm coming again." And He walked and appeared unto them, and they handled Him, and they saw Him in His glorified body. And yet He stood there, and He ascended there in Acts. In the very beginning of Acts, we see Him ascending back unto the Father, and he went away, and they said, "He who went away into the clouds will come again in the same like manner. He'll come again." He said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up? This same Lord who went away is going to come again." And he ascended back into heaven, and He sat down on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Brother Dale preached so ably today about how we pray and how our prayers can be fit to be heard in heaven. It's because of the person of the Holy Spirit that's in us, that directs us and gives us the ability to pray and helps our infirmities. And then we have Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father who intercedes for our prayers. And then we have the Father who hears our prayers and answers them in accord to His will. We see the working of the Trinity every time we pray. It's the work of the Trinity. Our salvation is the work of the Trinity. Our day-by-day deliverance, we see the work of Almighty God in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and we see that right here in this passage. Jesus prays unto the Father, which shows the distinction of the person of the Son and the Father. And yet we know that the Father is in me and I am in Him and we are one. Somebody said, "I can't figure all that out." Well, isn't it wonderful just to be able to believe the Word of God and just say amen, be okay with it, just be settled? And we'd have to deny the Scripture if we would say anything other than that. It says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, which is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. This is the Comforter that was going to come. And the Comforter that was already with them, and the Comforter that was going to come, He didn't say He's coming and He hadn't been here before. He says, "You already know Him, for He is in you." And they had been already born again of the Spirit of God, which means the Spirit, they've been born from above, has in a new birth experience had come and taken up his abode in their heart. And then in the gospel dispensation and the day that we're living in, the work of the Holy Spirit is what allows us to understand the Bible when we read it. It allows us to have preachers preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit. If the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is necessary for every meeting. We need His presence in every meeting. We need His presence every day that we live. He is the source of our peace and our rest and our joy. And He is with us all the time, always with us. If you're born of the Spirit, He has taken up His abode in your heart. You are His tabernacle. You are His temple. He is living in you. And it's an eternal life. You can't lose it. Isn't that good? Now, sometimes we can't see it because we get the eye of the flesh and the eye of the old body gets in the way. The flesh gets in the way. We can't see it. And yet the Lord chastens us by the Holy Ghost. He is the one that troubles your conscience. We can't just go and forget God and think things are going to be okay because the Lord will wake you up. You know, sometimes we can act like, oh, I can just live any old way and do any old thing. Well, listen, little child of grace, the world can do many things and they will answer to the Lord one day. That is those that aren't God's children. But God's little children that are born of His Spirit, they have a conscience that troubles them. Their sin bothers them. Their actions contrary to God bother them, and that's because of the Comforter that it does not allow them just to continue to go on in those things unabated. The Lord will bring us back on track. Aren't you glad that when we slip off the rock, He helps us back on? He's the one. As a matter of fact, if we're on it all, it's because of the Lord. All of it belongs to the Lord. I want to tell you about a Lord not only who saved you, but who can keep what He saved. Because He didn't save you and leave it into your hands to have it continue, but He's the one who saved you, who is saving you and who will continue to save you. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's the work of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, how did the Comforter come? Jesus, the Son, asked the Father who sent the Holy Spirit. You want to see the Trinity? It's right there in that verse. He says, I will pray, that's Jesus. Now, somebody said, well, isn't Jesus God? Why did He have to pray to the Father? Because as the Son of Man, He prayed to the Father to teach us how to do that and to show that to us. And also, He was made a little lower than the angels so that He, for the sufferings of death, that He might save His people from their sins. And so he was acting as a man, not just any man, but the perfect man, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He was 100% God and 100% man. And yet he prayed unto the Father. The Father heard His prayer. And the Father sends the Comforter. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever. Now, how long is He going to abide with you? Forever. So does that mean, can you lose Him? No. Did you do anything to get Him? No. So you can't do anything to lose Him. Some people say, well, if you don't ask Him to come into your heart, He won't come into your heart. Listen, if you're asking Him to come into your heart, it's evidence He's already there, because you couldn't ask Him or wouldn't ask Him because you wouldn't know the things of God. What things knoweth a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You have to be born again, as He told Nicodemus. You must be born again before you can see the kingdom or before you can enter the kingdom. And whether you're applying that to eternal heaven or whether you're applying it to the kingdom that's here on this earth, by the way, one day the Lord's going to come and gather that kingdom that's here in this earth up and carried out of this world to be with Him in glory here in the final resolution of things. That kingdom's going to go home with Him. And there won't be anything in it that's wrong. There won't be any troubles. Down here we got a lot of battles, don't we? We got some hills, we got some valleys, and we got battles along life's way. But what a day it's going to be when the Lord takes everything away that is a problem. There'll be no sin, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no sadness, and we'll be forever with the Lord. What a glorious day that will be! Until that time, we're down here fighting a battle. And we've been given the armor to wear. We've been given the clothing to wear. We've been given a Holy Comforter. That Holy Comforter is with you all the time. God's little children, sometimes they feel so alone. Can I say to you, you've never been alone since you've been born of the Spirit of God. Now, the eye of the Lord has always been on you, even before you were born again. But once you're born of His Spirit, His Spirit has taken up His abode in your heart, and He's always there. It's just we need to open our eyes and our ears, our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, and trust and believe and lean on Him. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Get that? The world can't receive it. Some people say, if you'll just receive the Lord. Well, the Bible says the world cannot receive it. And He says, because why can't they receive it? Because it doesn't see Him. And He said, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him. Why? Well, then why would we know Him and they not know Him? Because the Lord has shown it to us. The Lord has awakened. Who is the us? It's His elect family. It's those that are born of the Spirit of God. And He will do that for every one of His elect children that He knew in covenant before the foundation of the world. He will quicken them somewhere between conception when their life begins and death when the spirit and soul leave the body. He will quicken every one of them in the new birth. And He says to those disciples, and they were grieved. Listen, you would be grieved too if you'd walk with Jesus and you'd seen everything they'd seen and you'd enjoyed the fellowship with the Lord, and now He's saying He's going away. You'd be scared just like they were scared. We'd be afraid to think He's going away. Lord, what are we going to do? You're going away from us. And you say you're going to die? Peter said, no, it can't be. That can't happen. And Jesus said, if you knew what was going to take place, you'd be thankful to hear that. Because what had to happen, what Jesus was about to go through had to happen in order for His children, the joy that was set before Him, He had to endure the cross and despise the shame in order for the joy that was set before Him, because that's the only way you and I could ever live in heaven. Listen, I couldn't get good enough to be all right to go into heaven. You couldn't get good enough. We wouldn't want to and couldn't. It took a righteousness above our righteousness. Our righteousness is but His filthy rags, but it took the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what He did for us, we could not do for ourselves. And this is where He was about to do it, and He's telling His disciples about it so they won't be afraid. What I'm trying to do is tell you about it so you won't be afraid. And I'm reminding myself about it tonight so I won't be afraid. Because we have a Lord who's worthy of our trust, and we can have peace and rest and joy in Him. And He's written it to us that we might have that peace and that rest and that joy. And enjoy the sweet presence of the Lord in His kingdom right here before we leave this world. That's a great blessing. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. And brethren, when you feel all alone, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples are just the same words to you tonight. He will not leave you comfortless. He won't leave your orphans. He's going to take care of us. When you see a little child of God struggling, remember the Lord's going to take care of them. And yet you pray for them that they will be able to see that and tell them and tell this wonderful story. The Lord's not going to leave you alone. He's going to be with you. I told that to Sister Lisa this morning. She said, thank you for sharing that with me. I knew she already knew it. But to hear it again was such good news. And tears, you could just hear in her voice the tears. And that message that we need to hear over and over. And I'm saying to you tonight, the message of the gospel is, I will not leave you comfortless. That basically means I'm not going to leave you orphans. But he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will, and get this, I will come to you. I love that verse because here you see there's a distinct person of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and yet these three are one. And when the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit comes to you, guess who's there? You have God the Father there in the person of the Holy Spirit. You have God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ is there in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit there. Because where one is, all three are. Oh, we got a wonderful God. And to be able to declare Him as such is a great blessing. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he was also going to come again. The one who went away was going to come again. Jesus had to die. Jesus had to suffer. He had to go to the cross. He had to bear the pain and the agony of the cross, because the wages of sin being death, that wage had to be paid. And brethren, that would be our wage to pay if He hadn't paid it for us. But He took our sins in His own body. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And there at Calvary, He took our sins in His own body, and He paid for each and every one of them, and they were nailed to the tree of the cross, if you will, never to be remembered against us anymore. And then Jesus rose again to prove it. And He came, and they saw Him. For 40 days He walked among them. And they saw the glorified body of the Son of God. And He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And He says, yet a little while and the world seeth Me no more. That's talking about when he went away. He said, but ye see Me. Why? Because I live. Oh, isn't it wonderful tonight to know we serve a risen Savior? We sing that hymn, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know He is living, no matter what men may say. And it would be sad news tonight if we did not have a living Savior. It's important that we have a living Savior, because He came, He died on the cross and He was buried, but He rose again. And He ascended back unto the Father, and He's seated on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And He's with us every time we meet. He manifests His presence to us. And He says, yet a little while and the world seeth Me no more. He goes on in verse 20. He says, at that day ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. Now, how did we get in Him? Did we do something to get in Him? No, we were chosen in Him before the very foundation of the world. And there's nothing you can do to get out of Him. And He is in the Father. And He says, He goes on and He says, and ye in Me, and I in you. Sounds like we're in a good, safe place, doesn't it, tonight? That ought to give us a great comfort. And He goes on, he that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And that's what we're doing when we keep His commandments. When a little brother walks in obedience to the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, repent and be baptized every one of you, and you see that little brother take up his cross and follow the Lord in baptism, he does that because he loves the Lord. And he shows that he loves the Lord when he does that. And though he feels so unworthy and feel like he's certainly not one that deserves and is not one that deserves anything from the Lord, he's saying, because the Lord loves me, I've been made accepted in the beloved, and I have a desire to be obedient unto Him. And one way to be obedient is to keep the ordinances that He's given to the church. And one of those ordinances is baptism. And then another one of those ordinances is the Lord's Supper, where we commune and remember the body and the blood of the Lord and keep His commandments until He comes again. And when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, we're keeping His commandments. And when we love one another and do good to one another as the Lord has loved us, and we keep His commandments, He says, if you love Me, and He goes on and He says, he that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And that means shows a manifest love for the Lord. And then it says, and he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father. Now that doesn't mean if you love Him, He'll love you. It means He manifests His love to you. You feel it. Sometimes you know how long the Lord's loved you? Always. Because He doesn't change. And if He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. But how long have we felt that He loved us? Sometimes He loved us a long time before we knew He loved us. And sometimes even now we might wonder, does He love us? We know He loves His people. But have you ever thought, could He love someone like me? Could He love someone so sinful as I am? Could He love someone who at one minute may be seemingly walking on track, but even when I would do good, I find evil is all in all that I do. And I feel so far away from Him sometimes. I wonder, even am I His or am I not? Could He love someone like that? Listen, He loved His people, and all of His children were sinners. How lost and undone. There was none good, no, not one. They'd all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the fact of the matter, if He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. And if you have a desire to keep His commandments, that's an evidence that God's love has been shown to you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And we love the Lord, they are loved of the Father, and we feel His love. Brethren, when we come to the house of God and we walk in obedience to His commandments, you feel His love. You feel like He loved me. Oh, it's good to feel that He loves you. You know, I love to hear about election, but election would be a scary doctrine if I didn't feel to be part of the elect. If I didn't have some hope of being one of His, it'd be scary to think about a God who chose, yes, He chose His people, but am I His? Oh Lord, may it be that I can feel the peace and the rest that I belong to Him. And by the way, if you're worrying about it or concerned about it, it's pretty good evidence you do belong to Him. Because the world, can the world receive this? No, they can't know this. They're not concerned about this. It's only God's people that have that burden in their heart. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Have you been? I hope tonight you can see Him. But if you can't see Him tonight, I hope you can remember a time where you did see Him. I hope you remember, and I hope you're feeling right now that He is with us and He's present with us. That when we meet here tonight, I felt Him in the song service. I felt Him in the prayer. I feel His presence. There are times I want to feel it more. There's time I long for more liberty of the Spirit of Almighty God to share the truth with God's children. There are times that I want to feel it like I felt in other times. But I'm so thankful that I have some feeling. That I even have the desire to want to feel Him more. I'm like the hymn writer. I want to love Him more. I want to feel it more. I don't want to be up here before you and not feel the presence of the Lord and the leadership of the Lord in my efforts to speak in His name. And He says, He will manifest myself. He said, I will manifest myself unto Him. And Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you want to see a definition of the kingdom of Almighty God, here's this verse. It really shows it. It's when you feel the manifest presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's when you love the Lord. It's when you keep His words and walk in obedience to His commandments by His grace. Is the only way you can do that. And then the Father manifests His love to you. You feel the love of the Father. And we will come unto Him. Who's the we? God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And we make our abode with Him. That means we feel His manifest presence. It becomes a heavenly place right here in this world. By the way, I know I've said this before, but I think it's very important. Where you read in John 14, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. That word mansions is the exact same word as the word abode in this verse. If you look it up, it's the exact same word. He makes His mansion with us. He makes His abode with us. I'm telling you, wherever you are, when the Lord is with you, you got a heavenly place. Wherever it is. It's a mansion. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If we have no love for the Lord, it's the Lord who gives us the love to be able to love Him with. And if we don't have any love for the Lord, we're not going to be desiring to keep His commandments. We don't want to hear them. They just upset us. It's amazing when the gospel's preached, God's little children can get happy and the world will get mad. Those that have an ear to hear and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it, they rejoice in it. And those who cannot feel like it's an offensive, a horrible thing to preach such a gospel. There's no good news to the one who doesn't have an ear to hear it and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it. But it is good news to God's little children who've been awakened by His grace. And He said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, and if you have any question about who the Comforter is, He tells us, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's pretty plain, isn't it? You want to know who the Comforter is? Well, as verse 26 says, who it is, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Here's the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, sent by the Father, sent in the name of the Son. You see the Trinity? Here it is. And he says, he will teach you all things. So tonight, who's your teacher? I hope you don't think it's me, because you're sure looking too low if that be the case. I know this, if I am able to teach anything, it'll be the Holy Ghost who teaches me first and then gives me the ability to share it. And if you learn it, it'll be the Holy Ghost who teaches you. He's the one who teaches us, and he's the one who taught the disciples. He's the one who teaches us. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, some people say, well, you know, you read the Bible, it's just man's ideas and man's thoughts. It's not really, it's not anything. They might be mistaken, or they might, and if it was left up to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or any of the writers of the New Testament or the Old Testament to bring that to all, there would be mistakes all throughout it. But see, it wasn't done by that. It was done by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how you and I can have confidence in the Bible. And by the way, the Holy Ghost in your heart has already taught you that. I might have said it to you, but you already knew that before I said it, because he's the one that allows us to understand and know that God's Word is God's Word. That's why this book doesn't read like other books. Have you found that to be the case? When you read this, it speaks to you in a different way. And I'm thankful that we have an understanding that not only did the Holy Ghost give this Word, but God has preserved His Word, and it will continue to be here until the Lord comes again. And He says, He bring all these things to your remembrance. He said, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. What Jesus is saying, as though I know this statement of me going away makes you sad, if you really knew all that, listen, if you really knew all that was about to take place, if you knew what was going to be secured, that is the salvation of every one of His children, was about to be finished and accomplished. The reason He was born, the reason He lived His life, the reason He came, the reason the Father sent Him was about to be fulfilled in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And He said, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that ye, when it is come to pass, ye might believe. You know, though they were in great doubt, do you not believe that all these things came back to their remembrance by the Holy Spirit later on? When the Holy Spirit revealed these things to them, they remembered what He had said. And then they saw what He had done, and it was just exactly what He had said would take place. And He says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. This was when He was about to be taken, and the old devil was going to throw everything that he could at him. He'd already tempted him in the wilderness, but now here at Calvary, all of the things that could be thrown at him were going to be thrown. A mockery of a trial is going to be taking place. But you know how much fault they found in the Lord? Absolutely no fault. Even Pilate had to say, I find no fault with him. There, I can find nothing wrong with him. And you know why he couldn't find anything wrong with him? Because there wasn't anything wrong with him. He was perfect. That's why he said, he hath nothing in me. The old devil, who is the prince of this world, the Lord allowed him to be that, suffered him to be that, that Jesus might die and pay the sin debt. He says, but this man, this devil has nothing in me. In other words, he couldn't find any fault in him at all. He couldn't cause him to mess up. Nothing he threw at him, nothing he did caused the Lord to sin and become anything less than the perfect, righteous Son of God. And then he goes on in verse 31 and says, but that the world may know that I love the Father. Why did Jesus do all this? You ever wonder why Jesus came anyway? Because he loved the Father. And the Father had a love for the Son. And the love that the Father had for His people, the Son had for His people, and the Holy Spirit had for His people. And Jesus came because there was no other way that we might be saved. for the great love wherewith He loved us. He said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, Father sent Him, and He fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. He said, even so I do. And then He told them, arise, let us go hence. And there is where He was going to Jerusalem, so that He could do all that was coming. And He knew exactly what that was. What a Savior. He didn't do this part of the way. He didn't do it half the way. He did it all the way. And it was the work of a triune, perfect, awesome, righteous God who does not change. That's why you and I don't have to be troubled tonight about our salvation and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He accomplished it. And we sing that hymn, He's done all things well. And then when we get in trouble, remember, that's who we're looking to. The God who does all things well. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. May we trust Him more and more. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you, brother.